From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of May, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities. We'll discuss the cash grain situation with the folks at the Andersons, hear all about the weather forecast from Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics, and we'll discuss the fundamentals of global corn and soybean trade with agricultural economist Ed Ussett from University of Minnesota Extension, right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn at $7.32 and a quarter. This is the lead, though it's in expiration, down 7 3/4 of a cent today. July was up 6 1/4 at 6.79 and a half. That closing the gap between those two contracts. As May expires, July will become the lead option. September down a half at 5.91 3/4, and December at $5.63 3/4 of a cent lower. May soybeans down 10 3/4, $15.60 1/4 cents. The July there down 10 1/4 at $15.24, and November beans at $13.44 3/4, up a nickel for the day. The bean meal $9.80 lower. The bean oil down 15 cents, and wheat futures in the soft bread down 16 3/4 for the July at $7.18 a bushel. The hard red July at $7.88 1/2, down 15 cents. Live cattle futures finish the June at $115.30, $1.27 1/2 lower. The May feeders were 55 lower at $133 1/5, and the lean hogs in the May contract 57 1/2 cents higher for the day at $110.70. Crude oil futures 92 cents a barrel higher at $64.49. The U.S. diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.95 2/10, around 3 cents higher, and the price of gasoline on the wholesale at $2.10 is up 2 4/10 of a tenth, and the ethanol futures at $2.44. were 11 cents higher on the day. Now joining us to talk about the commodity markets is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here, especially after a windy weekend. Unbelievable.
Windy weekend and unbelievable the amount of corn and soybeans, I think, that were planted, though we'll find out more this afternoon during the weekly crop progress report as it's released at 3 o'clock Central Time. Are there early indications of what it might show?
It's a moving target, but we made tremendous headway. Guys really pushed hard. The equipment these days can cover a lot of territory. The range estimates, corn planted is anywhere from 37 to 53% complete as a nation on corn. That puts average about 44. Most guys believe we're closer to 50, but you know, a good chunk's in. On the beans, same type of range, 17 to 34% complete. Average straight guess is 25, but trade believes we're probably closer to 30 on that. A lot of beans went in the ground, but we'll see how that comes out. The key is over the next few weeks to make sure the rest of the crop goes in a timely fashion. But the individual conditions, the state conditions, man, when you move from here to the northwest, they just continue to show soil moisture deficits, and topsoil moistures, you know, hard to come by. And there's not a whole lot in the forecast for them. Then you look at the eastern belt, the drought monitor, it's showing some signs of some dryness here in the east, and the significance of that is I had some conversation over the weekend where guys were digging some holes and basically 6 foot down, just no mud. And these are areas that's got high water table levels. And so there's just not a whole lot of moisture in the subsoil to work with. So the key is timely rains as we go through the growing season. Today's genetics are set up that, you know, if we can receive some timely rains, we've got a sporting chance as long as we don't have triple digits over extended period of time. So we'll see what these reports show and kind of go from there. Kind of a lackluster day for the most part, sharply overnight, and we corrected here during the day. The market is overbought. May Day holiday in Europe for the most part. China's got some spring holiday until midweek, but I don't know if that's any reason to not step into the marketplace if they need to. Soybean-wise, technically, the July's made a new high on this move here and closed a little lower, a little hook reversal down, kind of looking at maybe a little bit of a double top action in here. Momentum indicators have turned down some. The November beans, technically, were able to close a little higher, but I think that's on spread activity, liquidating the bull spread, selling the upfront, buying the back end. Beans are pretty well spoken for. I think the commercial is about where they want to be with those. Corn-wise, the July was able to make a new high and close higher. The D's made a new high for the move, not a new contract high, but closed fractionally lower. The significance in the corn market, take a look at the July call options. The market did close higher. The July futures up 6 cents a bushel. But when you look at the call options, they all closed down anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 cents a bushel, indicating that maybe the volatility starting to wane out of this marketplace, and maybe this $7 benchmark might be enough for time. That's one thing to watch is the option volatility. If the options don't move with the futures market, that could be a sign to keep an eye on, Todd.
Well, I do want to talk about the techs here just a little bit. Am I right that the July gapped higher for this trading, correct? And May corn had a hook reversal down. Nonetheless, they closed between the two of them. They closed in on each other sharply. What you add them together, so 13 cents the spread closed today, too.
Yeah, we narrowed that up. The thing on the May is there's only about 2,500 open interest in corn, about 1,500 open interest in the beans. So it's kind of skinny there. But the May did leave a chart gap of just a half or maybe three quarters of a cent there from Friday's high to the low we saw tonight, last night and this morning here.
What are producers asking and what are you telling them?
Well, that's the thing. Is you got to determine, are we a trader or are we a risk manager? The simplest thing to do, I continue to look at, is put some type of price floor on you and kind of leave the upside open. There's nothing real easy in through here. You just got to kind of figure out where you are. Main thing is check with your cash green guys, your elevator. If you got a hedge to arrive, make sure that that thing's going to be margined. Also, too, if you've done an accumulator contract or some of these other types of contracts, kind of see where you are. Because the last thing you want to do is come in here and all of a sudden you're doubled up. If you thought you were 20% sold, you could be 40% sold. And if we run into a weather situation, that could even be higher yet. So just got to kind of take some time here and kind of see where you are for your marketing and what type of contracts you're in. Because this thing's going to be volatile and you want to make sure you have some flexibility to zig and zag with the marketplace.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Thanks.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Well, here's a quick item that was posted to the FarmDoc Daily website as it relates to trend yields in the state of Illinois since 2012. Gary Schnicke, agricultural economist, had taken a look at both corn and soybeans, and the yields have had less variability since then and been trending higher on average, better than average over that time frame as well. Trend yields for both corn and soybeans have been increasing at a greater than expected pace across the state of Illinois since that drought. University of Illinois Extension agricultural economist Gary Schnitke says the period of good yields, though, could come to an end, but it will depend mostly on the weather and genetics. But for now, he says yields are just better than average.
We have seen exceptional yields in Illinois since 2012, and that has resulted in our trend yields being going up, and we're expecting for 2021 a trend yield for corn of 195, 1.9 bushels and 60.3 bushels for soybeans.
Schnitke says it is reasonable to obtain the trendline yield levels for 2021, which, again, are 60.3 bushels to the acre for soybeans and 195.9 bushels to the acre for corn in the state of Illinois. Hey, you know, today is the 50th anniversary of the first NPR broadcast ever. However, there is a sign outside of Gregory Hall, which was the 40-year home of WILL AM 580, our home radio station here for the closing market report, that commemorates the real, true beginnings of NPR and public media. It says that in 1949, Wilbur Schramm organized a conference of the National Association of Educational Broadcasters, which laid the philosophical basis for public broadcasting in the United States. And from that beginning grew both National Public Radio, NPR, and PBS, the Public Broadcasting Service. Personally, I'm very proud to be part of this home station, WILL, this campus, the University of Illinois, and of course, this history that is NPR. Ed Essett, an Extension Agricultural and Grain Marketing Specialist at the University of Minnesota, now joins us to take up the fundamentals of the marketplace. Hi, thank you so much, Ed, for being with us again. A lot has changed since we talked last month, but I think it's mostly price and not really the fundamentals.
Yeah, that is the big change. The last 2 weeks has been price. What we've got the nearby corn market up the better part of $2 in the last 3 weeks. Corn, record highs, soybeans, corn, wheat, record highs. Good stuff. But you're right. I've had several calls from, reporters, news people. What's the new news that's driving this? And we know the fundamentals. The balance sheets are very tight. The demand outlook is outstanding, but it's no more outstanding today than it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I'm scratching my head as you are, but this is the way. It's hard to know when a top is coming in, and we've just decided to go higher, and here we are, higher and higher.
Is it the market trying to find a place, surely it is, to ration usage?
I think so. I think we, I'm looking for signs that demand is being cut into. And I'm reading about it. I'm reading little snippets here or there of wheat, of course, is being dragged up with corn because wheat is a major feed grain from a worldwide perspective and here in the U.S. too. There's more wheat feeding going on. I'm looking for feed demand to be pared back. I'm reading little snippets, but I don't think the evidence is clear yet.
What would be clear evidence in the past? What has it been? What happens?
I want to see demand numbers pared back. I mean, if you want an end to this, if you want to find evidence for the end of an up move like this, you want to see maybe cancellations of exports or evidence in a WASD report of shifts from corn to wheat to sorghum, et cetera. And like I say, we're seeing little snippets of it, but we're not seeing any sort of overwhelming evidence yet.
What are you telling producers when they call?
I've been telling them for a couple of months that I'm looking in terms of new crop. I think we're looking to get sales on the books a little bit at a time. Look for a good average. If you started 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, you're humbled by a market that keeps going higher, but that's good. You want your first sales to be your worst sales. I'm still looking at new crop opportunities and right through the first half of the year, right here we are in early May. You got another couple months to be looking at this. And old crop, Todd, I'll remind people of the 11th commandment of grain marketing, and that is thou shalt not hold old crop corn or soybeans in the bin beyond July 1. It's 2 months away. It seems like you have a lot of time, but 2 months can fly by. And I would remind producers to look in their backyard, look at the bins back there. Don't forget about that old crop that you haven't priced yet. You got a couple months yet. It's been all in your favor for the last month, but don't forget about it.
I see that, and I almost hesitate on this, but I do see that December 22 corn had a high of $5 today.
Yes, and I'm starting to look at that too. I've had people ask me about 2022 in the last couple of months, and frankly, I ignored them up until a week or two ago. And I ignored them because they were nice prices from a 5-6 year standpoint, but they weren't great. They weren't good enough to make me sit up and really start to think about 2022. But that $5 for December 22 corn, I'm not sure if it's there right now. It might be a few cents off. But that's, I believe that's up about 70 or 75 cents in the last 4 or 5 weeks. That's a big move. And $5 new crop corn, by any, you know, for any year recently, has to have your attention. Soybeans. I want to say the NOV 22 contract is over $12, 12 and a quarter this morning. That's up a dollar in the last month. More that $5 for December 22 corn, that looks more appealing to me or more enticing than November 22 at 12 and a quarter. But both of them are pretty impressive. I'm also looking at 2022 wheat crops, soft red winter, hard red winter, hard red spring, all September spring wheat. I know that your audience, Todd, doesn't talk spring wheat, but it's close to $7. And the soft wheat new crop contracts, July 22, and the hard wheat are 20, 30 cents off that, up in the high $6 range. They have to, if nothing else, you gotta start tracking that every day. You gotta keep your eye on it.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, Todd. Good luck to you and all your listeners.
All right. Hey, thank you. That's Ed Ossett. He's an agricultural economist with University of Minnesota Extension. Mark Russo, the senior weather analyst at Everstream Analytics, is here now to discuss what's happening across the planet as it's related to the growing regions. Thanks, Mark, for being with us. I appreciate that. Can you start here in the Midwest for me, please? There's been a little rainfall. Farmers have gotten a lot of field work done, and as long as it doesn't come in really heavy rain, I think they'd be pretty happy to take some time off and get a crop up in good shape.
Well, Todd, yeah, the past couple of weeks have featured relatively good fieldwork operations and steady planting progress. But coming up now, that does look to change as the next few weeks look to feature a higher percentage of days with delays in fieldwork operations due to a bit of a more active pattern, numerous days with rain, and some of the rain being heavier in nature and even the threat of severe weather, such as what we're seeing in portions of the Corn Belt here today and into tomorrow. Now, the southern half of the Midwest, acreage south of I-80 and down into the Delta, that's the area that has the higher number of days coming up. With rain and ultimately delays in field work. But as you go north of there, it does look like a bit more open days, less rain, looking out both this week and even on into next week.
Can you walk me through the rainfall from west to east and what it can and cannot do to alleviate what many are still viewing as dry conditions?
Yeah, well, kind of starting from west to east here, today on into tomorrow is where the rain activity will be moving eastward across the belt, and especially across that southern portion of the belt. And after that, it does look like as we go into Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that at least drier conditions will begin to work its way into the region. But that's going to be followed up by yet another window of higher rainfall totals. It's looking like with these waves of rain that in general totals will be in that kind of 1 to 3 inch range, but it's not out of the question a few isolated areas pick up higher totals. And at least the highest totals overall look to be in the Ohio River Valley acreage. Of all the southern portion of the Midwest, that is the area that does have at least the highest risk of some of these, you know, higher totals in excess of, you know, 5 inches or more.
In South America, the safrinha corn crop is in desperate need. I think that's the right term for rainfall because there's not been much since it was put into the ground. What do the next 10 days look like?
Well, Todd, it just doesn't look very good for any kind of a significant dryness relief. And that's especially true here for at least the driest acreage within Brazil, which is that central and southern safrinha corn acreage within Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul. The next 10 days looks very limited rainfall, and most areas will actually receive nothing. And along with that will be warmer than normal temperatures as well. So they're beginning to wrap up their growing season with still, you know, drier bias along with warm temperatures. If rains do return later in the month, that still could make a difference. But we're getting to that point here where, you know, rains are desperately needed, and at least over the next 10 days, just not seeing any indications of that.
Finally, can you update me on the wheat growing regions of the United States?
Yeah, here in the U.S., it's a bit of a variable situation. The Midwest soft red crop is in pretty good shape. Although there will be some, again, pockets of heavier rainfall coming up over the next couple of weeks. You know, Northern Plains spring wheat is being planted, but once a crop is in, you know, more rain will be needed to make up the long-term precip deficits there. And then across the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, it's a bit of a variable situation. For the southern portion of the belt, that's the region that's been the driest. And also, you know, we've seen quite a bit in terms of stressful conditions in recent weeks, actually going back to some of the, you know, freeze conditions back a few weeks ago and then followed up by heat in recent weeks. It does look like there'll be some improvement in rain activity, soil moisture, but it looks like it'll only cover a small percentage of the crop. So again, kind of a mixed bag across the region, and certainly for with the crop kind of going through the yield sensitive heading stage. You know, it's really there's some uncertainty, you know, regarding how much, you know, these minor rains will actually help the situation.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics and joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.